This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This show examines the latest legal topics and news facing families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. It is hosted by lawyers Rob Schenck and Will Smith of Schenck Smith LLC, a personal injury law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hello out there, and thanks for joining us. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are Georgia trial lawyers focusing in the areas of nursing home abuse and neglect. And we are also your co-hosts of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. We are so honored and thankful that you have joined us for this particular episode. This particular episode is going to cover infections, that is to say, common infections that one would see in a nursing home, as well as the ramifications of those infections and some of the things that the nursing homes and skilled nursing facilities can do to mitigate and minimize the onset of infections or mass infections in those facilities themselves.
So this is a topic that is something that I'm really passionate about. And the reason that I am is, and I know I say this almost every episode, having worked in nursing homes, but, working in nursing homes, working in hospitals, one thing is inevitable. You get sick because you get exposed to all kinds of viruses and bacteria over and over and over again. And I can't tell you, like, the way that, I don't know if you remember, They Live, the movie They Live.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Is with like
Rowdy,
King?
No, with Rowdy Roddy Piper, and he's got the glasses.
R.I.P.
Where he puts the glasses on, and he can see, like, all the aliens. It was a 1980s movie called They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
The wrestler, the professional wrestler.
Yeah, the professional wrestler. And he finds these glasses that these aliens are using, and mm-hmm. they've infected like certain parts of the population. And when you put these glasses on, all of a sudden you can see all of their stuff. Like, you can see their billboards, you can see the aliens. Anyway, my point on that tangent was that when I'm at a nursing home or a hospital, I basically put those glasses on, and what I see is totally different. I see a floor that has been urinated on, that's been defecated on. I see walls that are covered in feces and urine, and they are covered in all types of bacteria, viruses, multi-strain resistant viruses. And that's not to say that it's necessarily, the nursing home just or the hospital failing to keep the place clean.
It's just a fact of being a human person. So, like,
yeah.
The statistic here from the Health and Human Services in an abstract or in a report. Over 1.5 million people live in 16,000 nursing homes across the United States and experience an average of 2 million infections a year. Infections have been associated with high rates of morbidity, mortality, rehospitalization, extended hospital stay, and substantial health care expenses. Emerging infections and antibiotic-resistant organisms in an institutional environment where there is substantial antimicrobial overuse and the population is older, frailer, and sicker create unique challenges for infection control.
Yeah, so these places, it's like anybody that has kids, that they can tell you that kids are just little petri dishes. Nursing homes and hospitals are petri dishes. So these are really dirty places. And if you don't take away anything else from this podcast, for the love of God, please take this away. When you bring your children to a nursing home to visit grandma or grandpa, remember that. I can't tell you how many times I would see kids playing on the floor, doing their cars all over the place, then putting their hands in their mouth. No, you need to use precaution. But who definitely needs to use precaution and is the cause of many of transferred infections are the staff. So staff training includes universal precaution training. Then that is how we prevent transference of bacteria or viruses from resident to resident. So it involves proper hand washing. It involves when to use gloves. It involves what to do with certain items. For example, with bedpans. Bedpans must be cleaned. You know, how are they cleaned? Where are they cleaned? For example, I mean, you have to think this through. You don't just walk into a nursing home resident's room, help them use the bedpan, and then clean it out in the toilet, and then clean it out in the sink. Because what you've just done is infected the entire bathroom with any possible bacteria. One of the biggest ones being C. diff, which is a major cause of diarrhea, which can kill the elderly because of dehydration and other issues. So, I mean, there's a certain procedure for everything in a nursing home that is meant to cut down on the transference of viruses and bacteria, including. And to me, this is completely unforgivable. And this is definitely something that you need to look for when you physically go to a nursing home. Does anybody there have long fingernails? That is, if you want long fingernails that are your fingernails should be short if you work in healthcare. If you see anybody there with fake nails or long fingernails, don't go there. That is absolutely unacceptable. If that's something that you want to do as a human, you cannot work in healthcare. Because all that does is essentially grab all that bacteria and virus, keep it under your fingernails, spread it all over everybody else, and even take it home with them. It's gross. I tell you that what my mom would make my dad and I do, because I lived at home part of the time doing this, as soon as we came home, we would have to take our scrubs off and put them in the washer machine. We weren't allowed to go sit on the couch. We weren't allowed to walk around the kitchen first. We weren't allowed to do any of that. And my dad and I would spray the insides of our car with, Lysol or something. So, and this is important because infections are a leading cause of death in nursing homes. And there are several different kinds. You know, there are diarrheal infections that can occur from C. diff. There are respiratory infections. Aspiration pneumonia is a major killer in the elderly. And what aspiration pneumonia is, it's an infection of the lungs. Pneumonia is an infection of the pulmonary system, of the lungs, okay? So what happens with aspiration pneumonia is you inhale some foreign object into the lungs, which causes an infection. It can be gastric juices. So in other words, somebody has, you know, gastric reflux disease, and they accidentally inhale some of that gastric acid into the lungs, and it causes an infection. A lot of them are oropharyngeal dysphagia, which is the inability to swallow. That's why a lot of residents will have thickened liquid, because they can't, they have trouble swallowing. And because of that, it, you know, we all say, oh, I took something down the wrong pipe. They actually will. And that those food particles, doesn't have to be a lot, can cause an infection. Improper dental care, which is something that we have talked about before. Bacteria from cavities and from dental problems can be inhaled into the lungs and can cause aspiration pneumonia. Another common occurrence is are UTIs, urinary tract infections. And these are, you know, UTIs are almost inevitable when you have an indwelling catheter. I mean, you know, if your loved one has a Foley catheter, they're going to get a UTI at some point. the nursing home can keep it clean, they can do whatever they want to, but you have, you know, your bladder is sealed off typically, and it is what's the word I'm working for? It's sterile. It's sterile and it's a sealed off environment. When you have an indwelling catheter, you have something from the outside world going into that sterile environment, and inevitably bacteria is going to find its way in there. What you just don't hope, what you hope doesn't happen, is they end up getting urosepsis, which is even worse than a UTI and can end up leading to their death. So other than, just to recap what we're looking at so far, you're looking at diarrheal infections, which come from C. diff, among others. Pneumonia, aspiration pneumonia, even simple, not that it's simple, but even influenza, you know, the flu can cause pneumonia, which can kill the elderly. You've got UTIs,
which I'm reading here that and I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew they're common, but UTI is the most common infection and perhaps the most overdiagnosed infection in nursing homes. The presence of an indwelling urinary catheter increases the risk of both UTIs and bacteriuria. For example, approximately 3-7% of nursing home residents with an indwelling urinary catheter will acquire UTI with each day the catheter remains in place.
Yeah, that's amazing. And look at that. What is this next one?
By day 30 following catheter insertion, the prevalence of, am I not even saying that word right, bacteriuria is almost 100%.
That's bacteriuria. It's ural bacteria. So it's bacteria in the urinary tract.
Okay, so then it is estimated that 50% of nursing home residents with a urinary catheter will have symptomatic catheter-related UTIs.
But it says 100%. Like, it is absolutely inevitable. And someone that has had, you know, loved ones with disabilities that have had to use, that have to cath in order to go to the bathroom, I can tell you that even in the most strict environments with people giving them round-the-clock attention, you're going to get a UTI. I mean, it's extremely common. So you have to be careful.
Okay, so let's take, for example, what was the normal protocol in your experience when a resident got aspiration pneumonia?
Well, anytime somebody gets an infection, whether it is a UTI or aspiration pneumonia, the question then becomes, and this actually, I don't want to get off on another tangent here, but this is an interesting subject. So they're essentially going to have to be treated by a physician, right? Mm-hmm. So their primary care doctor is notified, and then the question becomes, you know, this person has an infection. Do we send them to a hospital, or do we treat them in-house? And that's a very interesting question because the nursing home only gets that money from CMS while the resident is in the nursing home. So if they have to send this person to the hospital then, the money from the federal government follows the resident, right? So if that person's sent to a hospital, then the hospital gets the money. So a lot of times, nursing homes are reluctant to send residents to the hospital when they can just have a staff physician give them antibiotics or whatever it is that they need. And so that can become an issue of liability, I think.
Right.
If that's how they're choosing that. But anyway, so in addition to, you know, the various indwelling infections, those that are in the lungs, those that get caught in the urinary tract, those that get caught in the bloodstream, infections can start from the outside too. Lots of skin infections Lots of soft tissue infections.
So it's older nursing home residents are particularly predisposed to skin and soft tissue infections due to several physiologic changes that occur with aging, including atrophy of epidermis and dermis. Remember that skin is an organ.
Yeah.
Reduced resistance to external insults and prolonged wound healing. Dry skin can serve as a portal of entry for pathogens. Acute bacterial infections in nursing homes include cellulitis and necrotizing fasciitis.
That's the scary one. That's flesh-eating bacteria. And that's always a problem. And that's really the reason that you know, it's silly and stupid for nursing home staff to ever fail in their diligence of universal precautions, because they're putting themselves at risk.
When you say universal precautions, what do you mean?
It's the standard by which you help prevent infection. So it's washing your hands before and after touching a resident. It's using gloves while touching a resident, for the most part. Not all the time, but for the most part, you should be. It's the very simple things that you do. So it's not at the level of, you know, the CDC treating somebody with Ebola and the precautions they have to take. These are just general universal precautions. Wash your hands, wear gloves, that kind of thing. And that doesn't, you know, sometimes you got to remember that all of these things take time. Washing your hands well takes time. Putting gloves.
You got to say happy birthday twice.
Right.
That's what I taught my nephews. You say happy birthday to yourself twice, and that's how long it should take you to properly wash your hands.
Yeah. But what ends up happening is, you know, anytime staff can cut corners because they're understaffed and they're behind and they're trying to get things done, they're going to do that. So it is not uncommon for staff to take care of a resident, to get them to the bathroom, to remove a soiled diaper, and then move on to the next resident without washing their hands. That happens. And that is a bad source of, that is a major source of bad infections, just going from these residents to residents. Which is also the reason that you have to remember, when you take your family, again, and I want to stress this because, I mean, this is something that resident families need to really take to heart. When you go visit your loved one in the nursing home, bring Lysol and hand sanitizer and leave it in the car so that when your kids get out, you sanitize their little hands, you spray their feet and pants down with Lysol. You remember that you're walking into an area where infections are rampant.
That's right.
I mean, I don't want people to think that, like, I'm not being so dramatic, that you're walking into Michael Crichton's, you know, hot zone or whatever. It was a book about, like, a spread of this horrible bacteria. I think they made it into a movie called Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman. Anyway, I don't want you to think you're walking into that, but be smart. Understand that this is a place where residents routinely void themselves in the hallways, in the nursing, in the rooms, in the cafeterias. I mean, these places are they're dirty. They're constantly cleaning them, but, you know, bacteria are rampant there, just in the same way that you want to get sick, go watch a bunch of kindergartners for a couple of hours.
That's right.
Anyway, it's a huge problem in nursing homes because resident-to-resident contact and staff-to-resident-to-resident contact that doesn't include the use of universal precautions. So, you know, wear gloves, make sure you wrap it up. No?
Is there anything else you want to say about that?
No.
Moving to the next topic here, we have a case out of, a recently filed case out of Yeadon, which is, I guess, near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Martha Young, acting as the administrator of the estate of Nellie Howard, filed suit earlier this year in Delaware County Court of Common Pleas against Manor Care health services at Mercy Fitzgerald. The suit says that Howard, who is now passed, was in need of 24-hour care due to having difficulty walking, a history of falls, dementia, muscle weakness, and unstable balance, among other maladies. And ultimately, she fell in February, sustaining a fall so severe it required her to be transferred to the emergency department at Mercy Fitzgerald Hospital. And she passed a little bit after that, and now the family is suing based on the fact that the nursing home was negligent in failing to take the adequate precautions for this particular resident to prevent her from falling and injuring herself. It looks like they're asserting claims of negligence per se, and wrongful death. Not a lot of facts in this case, but this is going to be...
Yeah, not a lot of facts in this article.
In this article is what I mean. But it does highlight the component of all cases, which is causation. Did this nursing home fail to do certain precautions to prevent this particular resident from falling, which is their obligation under the law?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that what we meant to say was that I think the causation might be there. The question is the breach.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
liability.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. Yeah, the liability is did they breach a standard of care? Because again, you can make sure that a resident never falls. But you're going to be taking away massive amounts of their liberty. The more protective you are of a resident, which you have to be sometimes, the less and less liberty that they have. So if somebody is at risk for falling, if it's severe enough, they may not be allowed to walk around by themselves. If they get a physician's order and they follow the guidelines of a restraint, they may even be restrained.
That's right. So is it Benjamin Franklin? Who?
Those who would give up liberty for the sake of security deserve neither.
That's pretty impressive. You're a founding fathers buff, I bet.
Well, I mean, I am, but I think that is, especially not to get off on a political subject, but that's become more and more important as of late. Anyway, for nursing home residents,
it's a continuum. They're obviously, as you said, you can do all types of things that would prevent injuries to occur. Yeah. But what kind of life, what kind of existence is that?
Yeah, and it's difficult. And there, you know, it's a big deal to restrain a resident. And understand, I'm not talking about like some one flew over the cuckoo's nest, her hands are tied up kind of restraint. The most typical restraint that I would see is one that would go around the waist. It was a soft restraint. It didn't hurt them, but it would prevent, it was enough that this 98-year-old woman who weighed 98 pounds couldn't get out of a wheelchair.
And there's also, I mean, a lot of times chemical sedation, the type of prescription medications to sedate the patient.
Antipsychotics like haloperidol or things like that, but those are, you know, those are even more frowned upon than physical restraints.
Right.
Physical restraints, you know, can be used, but then again, I mean, it's a hard thing to swallow because you're tying this person to a chair and telling them you can't get up. So you, first and foremost, you have to have a physician sign off on it. But in this case, I mean, with this history of gait dysfunction, which is ambulatory issues, she can't walk.
Yeah.
Rheumatoid arthritis.
There should have been a host of things done to prevent this fall.
Yeah. So she should have been suspect number one for a fall, and it just depends on what they did.
Exactly. And we, like I said, the article does not give us the content that we need to make the armchair decision of yay or nay on the ultimate verdict. Moving to the next subject,
mm-hmm.
Will has referenced three movies, I think, so far in this podcast. Two movies.
Have I?
Yeah, you've referenced whatever Roddy Piper movie.
They Live.
They Live. And then some Michael Crichton, the...
Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman.
Did Michael Crichton do a movie that George Clooney was in? Wasn't that like Syriana? Was that Michael Crichton?
I don't think so, but Michael Crichton did Jurassic Park.
Yeah, you're right. Okay,
never mind. He was a doctor turned author that did Coma, or that could have been Robin Cook. But he did...
The guy that married Mike Tyson?
No. But he did Jurassic Park, he did Outbreak, he did Prey, he did Congo. He was an author that I really liked when I was a kid.
Apparently.
Yeah.
You really liked him.
And They Live by, I don't know who does it, but it, with Roddy Piper, you got to watch it. You really do.
Apparently.
I can't believe you haven't seen it.
I didn't know that he was in movies other than No Holds Barred.
No, he's been in a couple, and he actually did a really good job. You know.
Okay. Well, I don't know even how to segue out of that to tell you that we've reached the conclusion of this episode. So I'm just going to leave it at that. This does, in fact, conclude this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This podcast can be downloaded on Stitcher or iTunes or watched in its entirety on our YouTube channel or on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. We are extremely happy that you've made it this far into the podcast, for those of you still watching or listening. And we appreciate it. And until next time.
Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.